I am back on Canadian soil, my man, in Ottawa after the last 10 days in Florida, catching some spring training. It was great, man. Spring training is
Heck yeah, a
very,
lot of
very
fun.
cool. Had a lot of fun. Dunedin's a beautiful little city. Can't wait for real baseball. It's so funny, man. This happens to me every year. I'm so excited the spring is around and that we're starting to get just, some baseball in our lives again. And then after 2 weeks of spring, I'm like, I don't give a shit about this. Give me real baseball. Give me something that
I
matters.
mean, we always say, right, the only thing that matters is injuries.
Is injuries. And
It's
it's
been a
true. And
slew.
now we're kind
Been a
of
slew.
we're hitting that point of spring too, where we're starting to we'll get into it, but yeah, we're starting to see some injuries happen amongst the organizations out there where you're like pulling at your collar going, oh, what's gonna happen here? So good morning, everybody. Hello and welcome to the Walk Off. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. Mailbag day. Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon. We comb through all your interaction every single week. We appreciate you reaching out. You can always do so on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, on Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast. You can join the Patreon. You get that Patreon bump. You get instant access to our Discord, which we also comb through and pick up our comments and questions from there. Tip of the hat to the Patreon, obviously. And on that, let's get into it.
Oh, my apologies. Yesterday, I did MLB Monday by myself. I talked Matt Chapman to the Giants. I talked the Ronald Acuna Jr. Season-ending injury potentially, and then I realized there was no audio, so did not get
Oh,
uploaded.
no
Yeah,
way.
so it
Oh, bummer.
was right on the heels of the wonderful morning I had already been having, and I was like, I ain't fucking re-recording this. So
God, I hate
my
when shit like that
apologies.
happens. Audio is always the worst one, too, where
You
you're
never
just like,
know.
oh, come on. Like, video, at least I can put the audio
Yeah.
out. Well, there you go. All right. Well, MLB Mondays, we'll need to wait till next week, I guess. Apologies to the Patreon. We do appreciate the support though. So it happens. The audio
Oh,
shit happens.
by the way, we won't touch on any of these for mailbag, but we'll get to them on Wednesday when we do our writers' room for the show.
Yep.
Log in to check the Patreon comment section today, and there's a notification that Johnny and 20 others have commented on our last week's episode of Around the Horn. I click on it. And it was just 20 comments from Johnny.
He literally DM'd me on Twitter and he's like, I'm sorry, I may have gotten a little out of hand with the
Every
Patreon
single
commenting.
I love it. It was great feedback. So it's always good
Oh,
to
you know what's cool?
see.
I actually get to meet Johnny this weekend because I'm in Ottawa
Hey,
and
there you
he's
go.
coming to the show. By the way, everyone who's listening, if you wanted to come see a comedy show, Laugh Lounge in Ottawa, one of the best clubs in the country, right downtown in the market, beautiful little basement club, always very well attended. And on top of that, these Ottawa comics are fantastic and probably don't get enough aren't touted highly enough, I think is the right way of putting it. It's kind of a forgotten scene. So I'm excited to be headlining the Laugh Lounge. I'll bug you and get you to post the ticket link
Is
on
Ottawa the Boston of Canada? Like Toronto
Ooh,
would be the New York, right? Is Ottawa the Boston?
that is a really good question. I guess sort of
All right.
you would
Montreal would
say.
be the New Orleans. Right?
Because of the French.
Because
You're
of the
so
French.
clever.
I did it. We got there. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
So.
anyways, the last of my self-promotion, but Laugh Lounge,
Very good.
Friday, Saturday, I'm there. Check the link for tickets.
Very good.
Should be fun.
Very good stuff. Okay, let's get to the mailbag then.
Yeah,
We'll
before we get into it, by the way, yes, Matt Chapman did not go to the Blue Jays. He wound up signing a 3-year deal with the Giants, 2 opt-outs, player opt-outs, so he can decide. $54 million over 3 years, something like that. $20 million. Even this year, he's making under what he would have made had he just taken the qualifying offer. So we spent a good chunk of Friday's show talking about how Matt Chapman, with the qualifying offer attached to him, still makes a ton of sense to Toronto. So we'll just start by addressing, yes, we know that take aged like old milk, all of those good things. It's just the life of a podcaster who's putting out a bunch of content. You're wrong a lot.
Well, no, I hold on. I resent that. It doesn't change the fact that he was still a good fit. It still made sense. I mean, don't get your news from yesterday is the thing.
Yes. Well put.
I don't know.
This isn't on us. You didn't watch it soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, go back and watch our old clips talking about the Blue Jays being World Series favorites heading into last season. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It didn't age well either, but there's about 29 fan bases you could say that for. So, okay. Now that he's signed, then, do you feel like the Jays could have done an offer like that, or who's that on?
I was a little surprised to see that the term was so low. I mean, only 3 years. Obviously, it was set up for him to hit the open market again next season. I think that that's the goal of Scott Boras and Matt Chapman, to rebound a little bit from 2023, a season where he just didn't show up at the plate for 5 months. You can't not show up at your job for 5 of 6 months. And then expect to get the deal that was promised to you by your agent when you were lighting the world on fire in April. I think that's really what happened here. No team wanted to give him the term that he was after, which was 5 or 6 years. He's going into age 30. So wanted to kind of have that career ending deal, you know, where maybe he at 36 can grab another 1 year or 2 year deal, but it kind of takes you through the bulk of the rest of his career. And it just wasn't there for him. So could have the Blue Jays done this deal? I really do think they could have. And it does make me wonder if maybe there wasn't mutual interest. Maybe Matt Chapman didn't like the way the coaching went last year. Maybe he just didn't feel like Toronto was the best fit for him and his family. He is a West Coast guy. Who knows his actual personal reasons? But it just stems to reason that Toronto would have been a good fit at that deal. You know, like if you're opting out, he was offered, the rumors are Scotty Mitchell, friend of the show, TSN analyst and Blue Jays insider, figures that there was a $120 million deal, 5-6 years on the table going into last offseason.
Going into last offseason, though, that's
before. Going into next year,
right.
So it was before his big April,
and is equally big,
and is equally horrible. September.
I don't know. I think 3 years. I don't think the Jays would have done, or I would have been happy if we got him on a 1 or 2 year deal, even, but three felt like. I just wouldn't want him at age 33 in year 3 of the deal where, who knows, maybe Addison Barger or Elvis Martinez or somebody did age into that position. And now we're like, yeah, but we got fucking Matt Chapman for $20
million. So I don't need you to really dig into the analysis of this. Just curious on a yes or no.
Okay.
Matt Chapman, does he rebound? Does he opt out this year? Just your gut feeling. Do you think that he rebounds enough that he bails on the last 2 years of this deal?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I think, so do I. I just think it's close your eyes and swing as hard as you can just in case you hit it. I think his approach. I think he can hit 220 with 35 home runs and get a big payday. Like his defense
If he breaks 30 home runs, I think you're right. I think, problem solved for Matt Chapman if he can do what he's only done once in his career, which is hit over 30 bombs. So time will tell where Matt Chapman's revenge season winds up landing. I lean a little bit more towards he does recover and opts out. Grounds crew, this is on you now. Very curious. We'll tackle this again next mailbag just to see where the general consensus amongst Jays fans is. Who feels like Matt Chapman is going to have a good enough 2024 where he can opt out after this season? Do you think it's even possible? Like, there's going to be takes where people are like, Matt Chapman's done. 3 years, $54 million. He better save those dollars. Like, we'll see.
Never mind. Forget where I was going on that tangent. Anyways, let's move on from there. Let's get to the mailbag. Amanda says, hey, Scott, for mailbag, I'd love to hear Adam and yours thoughts on which of the Boris clients signs next. How much longer for Snell and Montgomery?
So we have been talking about these Scott Boris clients. It feels like, oh, freaking offseason. It's starting to drive me nuts, and I'm excited to see them finally all sign. We watched Cody Bellinger and Matt Chapman take term-wise shorter deals than I think everyone was expecting. Matt Chapman definitely had to bite the bullet and just take what the market was offering. Cody Bellinger's deal is a little bit more interesting, where his AAV is really hitting where he wanted to be. So at 29 years old, Cody Bellinger took a 3-year deal, opt-outs after the first and the second year. $30 million is the first year of the deal. And I think if Cody Bellinger even gets close to what he did last season, he also opts out.
Matt Chapman needs to not be the worst player in baseball like he was
the past 4 seasons. Exactly. He needs to show some real... give the Cubs a little bit of confidence in him that this is a more of a long-term fix, and this wasn't just a 1-year rebound and then he's going to regress again. We'll see what happens with Cody Bellinger, but Bellinger and Chapman missing spring training was a big deal. It's very difficult for a position player to get game time reps in a practice scenario, right? It's a little easier as a pitcher to ramp yourself up, to pitch to live hitters, to do that sort of thing. So the crunch for Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell isn't to the same level Matt Chapman and Cody Bellinger were, but I guarantee they would like to see things handled quickly. So let's get into who we think is going to be the next one to sign. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think it matters. Jordan Montgomery, Blake Snell, I think they're both going to be right on the verge here. And Adam and I talked about this to start, right? We just want real baseball at this point. Enough with spring. The only thing spring you eventually get to is you hit that weird point where you're like, oh God, we're dealing with injuries. And it's starting to happen. We're starting to see some major players in this year's 2024 World Series contention start to see some injuries happening, okay? And I'm not saying that the Cardinals and the Red Sox and stuff like that are necessarily World Series contenders, but, I mean, that NL Central is up for grabs, and I know that St. Louis was expecting to take a pretty step back, but they did go out and sign some really good pitchers, and, well, we just saw their ace, Sonny Gray, who finished second in Cy Young votes in 2023 in the AL with the Twins. Hamstring problems. Probably going to miss the beginning of the season. In fact, they're unsure of the timeline. And even more eye-popping is the fact, Jeff Passan just put this out, brutal update on Lucas Giolito's injury. So it was announced yesterday that he might miss the beginning of the season. Well, the Red Sox wish that was the case. ESPN's Jeff Passan reporting that initial imaging showed Giolito likely has a partially torn UCL and a flexor strain and could most likely miss the entire 2024 season. The Red Sox signed Giolito to a two-year, $38.5 million deal. We also just watched Zach Wheeler of the Phillies get a three-year extension, 3 years, $124 million. Big money, $40 million a season almost, a little bit more than that for Zach Wheeler, who has been the backbone of that Cardinals pitching staff for years now. All of this to say Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery should probably be signing in the next week or two is my guess anyways. Pitching injuries are starting to pile up. Teams are going to need to make some moves, and they're the best pitchers on the market. They're the best pitchers on the market. Someone is going to improve their rotation instantly once they sign one of these guys. So the Scott Boras waiting game is going to continue until he feels that the best deal's on the table. But I think we are going to see some teams that maybe wouldn't have gone that extra year, maybe wouldn't have given an extra $3, $4 million AAV to these guys, break and bend and give in to some of these demands. Especially when you look at a team like the Cardinals, where the NL Central is up for grabs.
Yeah. Yeah, make a push while you can. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the Cardinals. Are they going to be dysfunctional again this year?
I don't know, man. It's such an interesting organization. Because, I mean, they're an organization that has been touted for decades as
the Cardinal way.
The Cardinal way, a symbol of success, the way to do things the right way. It's just interesting to see.
Yeah. All right, then. We'll just touch on this last injury before we move on. Ronald Acuna Jr. did look like he was poised to miss significant time. But the second opinion on his knee is that he should be good for opening day. So who knows? Crazy, man. I'd be handling him with Stanley Cup gloves, though, if I was the Braves.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's missed time, I think, for a knee injury. Was it a knee injury that he missed the year, the first year they won the World Series there?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I don't know. They got a lot of years left invested in the best player in baseball. So, we'll see. Anyways, some positive news there that he's going to be back, because I think. Mm-hmm. Not in our division, so a healthy Ronald Acuña Jr. is something that...
Honestly, even speaking of injuries, I mean, knock on wood and hoping that it's fine, but even the Blue Jays were seeing Kevin Gausman, right? He was supposed to already have started in spring, and he had a live bullpen and general shoulder fatigue. I mean, this sort of thing happens in spring training. We watched it happen with Ricky Tiedemann already. And the fact there's no structural damage or anything like that. Yeah, you ramp up. You're going to get inflammation. You're going to get some soreness. You're going to need to shut yourself down from time to time. So this is all regular run-of-the-mill stuff. But it makes you nervous, man. Like, let's be serious. Ooh, I don't even want to bring it up. But if Gary Gausman has...
Well, okay. So level of concern with this news is what? A five?
Yeah.
And five of those points are just because of the name?
Yes.
Right?
If we're this like, was... we can't go without Kevin Gausman.
Right, right. Even the thought of it puts you at a five instantly. God. Yeah. Okay. That's enough there. Next one comes from Mark on Patreon. It says, take your time with this one if you want. But I thought kind of a fun mailbag question. If every player in the league this season performed to match their past career best, which teams would have the deadliest rosters? So you're getting Cy Young votes out of Manoa. You're getting 50-ish home runs out of Vladdy. You're getting the best out of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Jays up there still?
You know what? The more I think about it, And I hate this answer so much, dude. And Mark, great question. Adam kind of floated this one right before we hit record already, so we've had some time to let it ruminate in the old
Adjust.
brain. But
Ruminate, good word.
I don't know, man. It's hard not to look at that New York Yankees team and be like, listen, if you take Aaron Judge and put him at the level of his
Yeah.
best year, and you
Giancarlo
take one
Stanton.
and Giancarlo Stanton to the level of his best year, and you take Juan Soto and put him to the level of his best year. Shit, take Anthony Rizzo and put him at the level of his best year. Like, all of a sudden, you start going down that lineup and you're like, shit, this is all like borderline MVPs. Like, what the
Yeah.
hell? Even that starting rotation, Carlos Rodon, I mean, second in Cy Young votes. Only, what was it, 2022 with the Giants? Gerrit Cole just won a Cy Young.
Yeah,
Nestor
Marcus
Cortez was incredible in 2022 before he had injury problems. I like you look
Stroman now with the
Marcus
Yankees.
Stroman. Like, remember how good Marcus Stroman was in 2015 and 2016 with the Blue Jays? Like, literally a top 10 starter in the league. So you start going down the list there. And yeah, there's a lot of Jays players like that too. You look at, George Springer in his prime. Obviously, that would be a big little bump for the Blue Jays. But it's tough to look at that Yankees roster and not just be like, yeah, best team in baseball if you're just taking all of these guys at their prime. I mean, the only argument is maybe the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, Dodgers have Glasnow, Bueller, Kershaw. I mean, Kershaw in his prime
Yeah.
is as good as it gets.
I mean, they've got
Freddie
four
Freeman,
MVPs.
Mookie
Freddie Freeman.
Betts. Oh yeah, Shohei Ohtani.
Oh
You've heard of
yeah.
him.
Oh yeah, Shohei Ohtani, right? Who's that guy again?
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, those are just the three. I mean, Yankees and Dodgers immediately come to mind for obvious reasons. I'm sure if you looked at Mets or even the Padres
Yeah, I was
or
just going to say,
like,
even the Padres, if you take those guys and dial them up to their
Manny
best season, yeah.
Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr. Yeah, it's
It's too bad baseball didn't work like that, like a video game where you can just like, oh, just let's increase that power there.
I would say this 2024 season might be one of the worst seasons to ask this question for a Blue Jays outcome. Like, give me Matt Chapman's best season over Isaiah Kiner-Falefa's best season. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
give me Marcus Semien's best season over Santiago Espinal or Babe Schneider's best season. Yeah, like
Yeah.
I'll take those. Like, so yeah, I don't know. Fun question though.
Yeah.
Depressing answers. Okay. Mish in Patreon. Now she also put some salt on this question because she sent it to you on Twitter weeks ago and then
Oh.
was neglected, Scott.
Okay.
Neglected. So, but Mish wants to know when the pitchers arrive at camp. Yeah, this question is from February 15th, resent
Okay.
on the 2nd of March. But when pitchers arrive at camp and for the duration of spring training until the first game, is their pitch count being monitored and tracked? Is there a target number that's generally considered good for the season and a target number that is red flagged? Likewise for types of pitches and speeds of pitches. She's just curious, was going to reach out to Pitching Ninja or Keegs, but figured we might know or be curious like her. So.
I mean, I would still reach out to Pitching Ninja and Keegs. Obviously,
Course.
their wealth of knowledge, it just feels deeper than our wealth of knowledge. But I will say this, that one of the bigger concerns in baseball over the last 10 years is that it wasn't being tracked, right? They were really worried about how many pitches a pitcher was throwing him, and they weren't tracking them warming up in the bullpen and what they were doing in spring training. And it just wasn't, and maybe it wasn't 10 years, maybe it was 15, 20 years ago where they weren't really tracking that, but they keep track of everything now, like yeah. everything. They keep track of their stretching regimen and what they're doing on the side when it comes to lifting weights and stuff. So yeah, they're keeping a pretty close eye on the workload of these pitchers. They are making sure that their spring training numbers are being taken into account when it comes to arm health and that sort of thing. The pitch type is a really interesting one because it is more strain on an arm to throw certain pitches, but I think that you're going to go player by player on that sort of evaluation, right? Every guy has their routine. Look at Kevin Gausman. I mean, that story came out last year about Kevin Gausman and his splitter and the blister on his finger and the fact his fingers bleed every single time he pitches. And he's like, yeah, yeah, it's no big deal. You just got to drain that blood blister. And everyone's like, what? Wait, what? You're doing what? Like, it's just guys have their routine. They go through their rigors of the season. And a lot of these guys, like Kevin Gausman, know their body pretty well, right? They're 31, 32 years old. They're in the heart of their career. They've been through the 162 game rigor of a season and know what works best for their body. So I think in a scenario like Kevin Gausman is a great example, right? We mentioned that he was feeling some soreness, and so he shut it down. Where you run into problems is maybe a guy who's less established, right? Feel soreness, but because he's on the bubble, pitches through it. And that's the thing organizations are trying to avoid. That's the thing that when they're tracking velo, tracking what pitches they're doing, tracking how many times they've thrown a certain pitch, they're all trying to do it to avoid arm soreness. And of course, if you're not going to speak up, that's where the problems is. So it's why you see so many of these seasoned veterans not even getting started until the second week of March. They just know what works for them. Also, Mish, apologies on not getting to this when you sent it.
You would have been probably like mid-cruise or mid-travel, and it just fell through the cracks. But
yes, that's okay. What we'll say.
Well, that's what we'll say. All right, Davis Beyer on Twitter DM'd us and says, our last two opening day starters, Berríos and Manoah, both had bad seasons those years. Do you think we should name some no-name from the minors as our opening day starter so that we don't jinx Gary Gausman? Yes. I love this.
Okay, so a few things. Dave, well done getting your message on mailbag. You send funny stuff like this. We're going to do it every time. Number one, I knew Adam would love that you used Gary Gausman. Yes. And the fact that, some no-name. Just let's just throw some no-namer there for, and then we can send him back to the minors and not need to worry about the opening day starter jinx. It's funny. I had forgotten about the fact that both Berríos and Alek Manoah has had rough seasons as the opening starter. And now I'm like, oh, maybe we should do some sort of weird.
With you there. Yeah. It's, I mean, in all honesty, I just hope Gary's good to go for opening.
Yes, 100%.
Recovered, healthy, and warmed, loosened up, ready to roll. So there you go. All right. Next one comes from Cody on Twitter. Says, hey, guys, love the show. Would love to hear your guys' take on Josh Donaldson retiring. Where does he rank in the top Blue Jays of all time? Yeah, retired. Announced it today.
Yeah. So. Bringer Rain. There's been two MVPs in Toronto Blue Jays history, George Bell and Josh Donaldson. And man, that 2015, it absolutely rejuvenated the love of baseball in Toronto, the love of baseball across this country, the excitement of those playoffs teams, which Josh Donaldson was literally the heart of in 2015 and 2016. And it was very exciting to have a guy like the Bringer of Rain come from Oakland and in that first season dominate, completely change the middle of that order. I mean, my God, 2015, I think it was 2015. I'd need to double check. Maybe it was 2016. But that was the year where Donaldson hit 42 home runs. I think it was Batista hit 44 and Edwin hit 39. Like, just there was like 340 home run hitters, two through four in that Blue Jays lineup. And it was just such a power exciting, power centric team. It was awesome. Like, just talking about 2015, if you're a Jays fan and you want to, if you don't know what it means to a Jays fan, right? And you just want to just test the waters. Just talk to any Blue Jays fan about 2015 and you'll see it instantly. You'll see it instantly. They get excited. It's in their eyes. It's just like you start to remember how dark those days felt. I think that was the big thing with 2015, right? It had been since 1998 where there was even like a real legit shot of the team making the playoffs. Forget about making it because they hadn't made the playoffs since 93. But even like it had been almost 20 years since there was even a possibility of them making the playoffs. And Josh Donaldson was a big reason why that happened. So I've got a bunch of stats here on Josh Donaldson. On a per game basis, Josh Donaldson was the greatest Blue Jays player ever. He's also responsible for an outsized number of franchise moments, you know, just those, the Donaldson Dash, right?
Sure.
So Josh Donaldson accrued 21.3 wins above replacement in 462 games with the Blue Jays. George Bell, the only other American League MVP in franchise history, racked up 20.2 wins above replacement in 1181 games. So almost triple the amount of games and had a fewer wins above replacement. So this is his F WAR, top F WARs in 162 game seasons with the Blue Jays. So number one is Josh Donaldson. He had a 7.5 win above replacement. Number two is Marcus Semien. He had a 6.3 win above replacement. Number three, Fred McGriff with 5.5. Devon White, 5.2. Bo Bichette, 4.8. Jose Bautista, 4.8.
On a per game basis, that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing for me where it comes down to where does he rank on all-time Blue Jays lists? 3 seasons, man. It's
Yeah.
they're great. Three great
Yeah.
seasons,
Yeah.
one MVP. But like when we look at what do the Jays call their ring of honor? Level of excellence?
Yes.
I don't think he's level of excellence.
He didn't play long enough in Toronto, I don't think. Like, that's the thing, right? Jose Bautista
Here's the
belongs on the
list.
level of excellence.
Batista, 10 years with the Jays. George Bell, 9 seasons. Joe Carter, I don't know how many seasons. It doesn't have it listed here. But he has like the biggest home run in Blue Jays
Yeah.
history. So even if it was 1 season, that one home run might have been enough to get him in. Delgado, 12
Yeah.
seasons with the Jays. Tony Fernandez, career leader in games with 1,400. Roy Halladay was like 11 seasons, I think, with the Jays. And Dave Steeb, leader in wins. It's just too small of a sample size, like really good small sample, but Yeah, I don't know. It's I mean, Delgado is, I think, my number one.
Yeah.
If not Halliday, that's like a 1A and a 1B for me. Yeah, Batista is probably number three.
I'll be honest, man. I don't think he breaks my top five, but he's definitely a top 10 Blue Jay.
Top 10 Blue Jay. Yeah, I'd have to really spend the weekend thinking about it and think of.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, does Vladdy, is Vladdy a top 10 Blue Jay for you? Small sample size. He also has a, you know, a season as good as Josh Donaldson's 2015 was. I don't know. It's tough.
Let us know, grounds crew. Drop it in the comments and we'll circle back.
Where Vladdy ranks in the all-time Blue Jays list, I think, is also skewed by the fact that he's still so young and his last couple seasons have stunk so bad.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if we were having this conversation two full years ago, coming off of losing the MVP to Shohei,
we'd be like, he's a top three Blue Jay of all time.
Yeah. Retire his number right now. He's not even allowed to wear his own number. That's how good he is.
Recency bias. I don't know what you're talking about.
World Series or bust, that's what we'd say. And then the gods would say, okay, bust.
Yeah.
All right. Good question, though. Yeah, tip of the cap to the bringer of rain, Josh Donaldson. Yeah, not a level of excellence guy for me. Not a top five Blue Jay. I think top 10. I'd have to go back and really look at, like, Sean Green numbers and stuff like that. But maybe. I do feel like a recency bias is there. And the peak of 2015 was good, and it was at such a pivotal moment for the fans. There's value in that. There is value in that. But give me longevity, is what I say. So, okay, we'll get out of here on this one. Jeremy on Twitter says, holy shit, why is everyone so excited over Vladdy hitting one home run in spring? This fan base is brainwashed. Roger says Vladdy is good and everyone just buys right in. The guy wouldn't even be the best first baseman on most teams.
Like, what the fuck? God, I hate comments like this. Yeah, what is everyone's problem enjoying a baseball game that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is playing in? He did hit a moonshot yesterday. Sorry. That there's some enthusiasm about the fact that baseball's back in our lives. Why are we not all just sitting around moping like Jeremy, pointing out every shitty thing that happens and making a big deal out of it? Like, if you're going to play that double-edged game, use that double-edged sword of like, it's spring, nothing matters. Why is everyone excited about a home run? Well, then I can also play it the other way and be like, why are you so worried about people being excited about a spring home run? Like, get over it. You want to hate this team? Fine. And honestly, Adam, we're normally pretty good, man. Like, I don't shit on people's comments. I normally try and, like, be pretty open-minded about it and pretty unbiased if I can and get out the negative comments. I don't, like, just such a miserable comment.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. Like, I don't know. I do relate to the one home run in spring training I don't give a shit about.
Yes.
So, but like, also people can have fun in their own ways. And if you want to get excited about it, cool. Like, but then also, like,
I guess it's, you know what it
hatred
is?
Hatred of, like, he wouldn't even be one of the best first basemen on other teams is like, okay, like, well, now, not, maybe even now that's true. Why do you got to say it? Like, it's just seems like an undercover Yankees fan. Yeah, I mean, none of this
the brainwashed
matters.
Comment rubs me the wrong way a little bit. I'm just like, brainwashed. Like, I think people can be excited about Vladdy and hope that he rebounds from last season because he is such an important cog to this machine that is the Toronto Blue Jays, right? He's been based. This team has been built around him from day one. He is one of the core members of this team. And we have watched how good the Blue Jays are when Vladdy is firing on all cylinders. Look at 2021. People talk about 2021 all the time. And that year was driven on the back of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and his 48 home runs, MLB leading. Like, it's not brainwashing that people see the value in Vladdy rebounding.
You know what I think it is? I think it is, more than anyone else, the two players we feel like we needed a rebound from the most are Vladdy and Manoah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Manoah's first and only appearance of the spring has been so bad.
Yeah.
We just needed him to, like, come out of the gate and just, like, put our worries to bed. So with Vladdy hitting like over 400
yes,
and a
1200
OPS.
We needed a moonshot home run to get excited about.
We needed something. Like, it is, like, I get it. I mean, it just, when you've got Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, sometimes you just need some reason to get out of bed and put on your Blue Jays jersey. Like, I mean, again, spring training stats
that's a good
mean
way of
nothing.
Putting it.
They mean nothing. They mean nothing.
Yeah.
But also, spring training for Vlad this year, he's hitting .462 with an OPS of .1269. This is the best spring training he's had since 2021, where he hit .421 with an OPS of .1248. 2022, he hit .303 with an OPS of .888. And last season, he hit .267 with an OPS of .1028. So,
and Adam, you always put it best. Small sample size means nothing, but the one thing it does mean is a good small sample size is the best small sample size. Like, yeah.
That is basically what I say. And
yeah,
I mean, whatever. I just... yeah, I'd rather have an irrelevant sample size from Vladdy that it makes me a little bit excited than be like, ugh.
Maybe I'm being too harsh. I just hated that comment so much. I'm just like, okay, like, people are allowed to, like.
I get it. I just, okay. I'm way happier to be talking myself off of the mountain that I want to shout Vladdy's praises from, because it's just spring training. I much prefer this position than talking myself off the ledge that I'm on about Alek Manoah. And be
yes,
both of them, you can equally say it's just spring training. Doesn't mean anything. Who cares if he hit three batters and hit the strike zone like 11% of the time? And has an ERA in the like triple digits. Doesn't matter. It's just spring training, right? But it doesn't feel as good to say as like, Vladdy! Okay, calm down. Stay calm. It's just spring training.
Calm.
This is awesome, but it's just spring training. Like, give me that every fucking year. I'd way rather be in this position with what we're in with Vladdy. Of like, hey, he looks good and ready to play.
Yes.
Rather than, well, look, Manoah. Looks fit, at least. So there's that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways. Yeah, it's just spring training, but we're about 4 weeks away now from the season kicking off. So there you go.
Can't come soon enough.
Can't come soon enough. There you go.
There we go. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for all of your questions and comments. We do always appreciate all the interaction. Grounds crew, tip of the hat your way. You can always drop your comments on YouTube, Twitter, at Walk Off Podcast, Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast, and the Patreon bump is in full effect. Thanks to all of you who support the channel with a little bit of cash. Appreciate it. All right, everybody, take care of yourselves. Cheers. By the way, one last little push here. Laugh Lounge, Ottawa, Friday, Saturday shows. Come check out a comedy show, eh?
There you go. Link pinned in the comments.